We're going to hear from God's word now. Before we do that, we might pray and ask him that he'll open our hearts and our minds to what he has to say to us. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God of kindness and grace, that you don't treat us as our sins deserve, but instead, in your kindness and mercy, you shower us with love and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And Lord, thank you that you're a God who continues to speak to us. And we ask now that as we look at your word together, that you might convict us, challenge us, comfort, and give us grace, Lord, to live lives that honour you. We ask all this for the sake of the name of Christ. Amen. Now, I confess, growing up on a grain farm on the Darling Downs, I do not know a lot about sheep, okay? So coming to a psalm that has sheep as one of the key focuses, or certainly a shepherd, I don't think I'm qualified too much to talk about them, except that even though we had a grain farm, my father did decide at one stage to get a number of sheep just to keep the grass down around the house paddock. And they didn't do a lot for my impression of sheep, let me tell you. They wouldn't do a darn thing that we asked them to do. They would not go where I wanted them to go. They wouldn't eat what I wanted them to eat. They wouldn't stay out of the areas that we wanted to keep them from. They wanted to nibble on the oleanders. They wanted to eat things that were no good for them. I thought sheep are just the dumbest creatures on earth. But as I've come to understand sheep a little bit more, it may well have been that they didn't trust the shepherd. I don't know, but sheep act in accordance with their nature. Sheep do sheepy things. This psalm looks at not just the sheep, but mainly the shepherd. It starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And as a child growing up in church, I thought about my experience with sheep, and I thought, is this saying that we don't want the shepherd? That's how I read it. The Lord's my shepherd, I don't want him. But you know, that's not what this passage is about. In fact, it's the exact opposite. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I don't have any needs. I have everything I want in him. But if I'm honest, there's times in my life where I've acted like the sheep that I knew from the farm, and like I thought I understood this passage when I was a small child. I've acted as if I don't want the shepherd. Like most people in our world, I've looked to other shepherds, the shepherds of things like wealth and riches or comfort and pleasure, to shepherd me. To be the shepherds that lead me, that set my priorities for what satisfy my soul. But I soon found, and maybe you have too, that those things are not good shepherds. In fact, none of them actually satisfy, and they can't actually satisfy. Even though people spend their entire lives hoping that those shepherds will be the guide to the good life, they ultimately can't provide true security and contentment. And that's because, paraphrasing Augustine here, our hearts are made to follow the good shepherd, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. You see, we've been made by God to be creatures that love, that worship. And first and foremost, we've been made to love and worship our Creator. We're meant to find our fulfillment, our significance in him. That's how we've been created. And this psalm picks up the heart of a true follower of God. Someone who's not chasing satisfaction in the shepherds of this world, whether they're wealth or comfort or ease or popularity, but instead, a true follower, a true sheep, is going to chase satisfaction in their walk after the good shepherd, the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and their connection with him. Psalm 23 holds up the true follower of God and shows what their heart looks like. And it holds up the beauty of the good shepherd. Now, normally when we go to the Old Testament, we don't just directly lob into a passage and apply it to ourselves. And particularly if that passage is about David, the king, because he was the foreshadowing of the Messiah, the true king to come, the Lord Jesus. But here, David puts himself in the place of a sheep, just like one of us. And from our reading from John's Gospel, we understand clearly that Jesus owns the title of the Good Shepherd. And so we can confidently apply this psalm directly to us. And we can say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd, the God who created everything, who flung the stars into space, the Lord of the universe. He is my shepherd. He's watching over us." And it's not like the way a farm boy on the Darling Downs watch over sheep. It's like the way a Middle Eastern shepherd watches over sheep. The shepherd who cares for the sheep, who knows them by name, who stays with them, who looks after their coming in and going out, protects and guides them. That's the type of shepherd. So like David, we can look to this, our good shepherd, the only true shepherd for all our needs. But we've got to ask the question, don't we? Does "I shall not want" really mean what it seems to be saying? I shall not want? What does that mean? Well, the Christian philosopher James K.A. Smith says that we are what we love. That we are creatures who act out of our desires. And that we know from the sermon last week that our desires are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we need right thinking, right priorities, right beliefs, and right habits to shape our deepest desires. In some senses, when we choose our shepherd, when we choose the one to follow, we start to shape our desires for him. The psalm calls us to focus our lives on following Christ because he's the only one who is our true shepherd, the only one who gave himself for us and the only one who can give us everlasting life. When we can say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd," then it truly is well with our soul. We shall not want. The deepest needs of our heart will be met in the Good Shepherd. And a sheep that's smart will shape the habits of their life around him. They will look to him and his desires to shape theirs. A smart sheep will draw nearer and nearer to the Good Shepherd, listening to his voice and his direction. And if you look at this psalm, and if you get your Bibles open, it'd be great to follow through. There's definitely that personal connection here in Psalm 23. I think it's why it's the most beloved psalm, one of the most beloved passages in Scripture, because it is so personal. There's 17 times in these six short verses that it mentions "I, my, me, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." You see, this shepherd truly understands the sheep and truly cares for them. And they know it. He has them lounging in lush green meadows and sipping from crystal clear, quiet waters. He does everything for them. And they trust him intimately. It's interesting that sheep won't drink from rushing water. In fact, they run away from it. So a shepherd's job was actually to find quiet streams that they could drink from. This shepherd finds the rich grass, the quiet stream, so that the sheep can be content and peace at peace. Not wanting for more, but satisfying what he gives them. Finding everything they've desired provided in the shepherd. And Romans 5 points us to this, that for the true follower of the Good Shepherd, it says God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the refreshing, beautiful water of the Spirit in our life leads us to love like Christ to desire what he desires for our life. And this comes about because, as verse 3 says, he restores our soul. Now, like I said, I didn't know much about sheep, but in my thorough investigation of sheep, I found that this is actually a pastoral image here of a cast sheep. The restoring of a sheep when they have what's called being cast. Now, occasionally a sheep will lie down, maybe in those green pastures after eating a good feed, and they might roll into a bit of a divot or a hole, and they lose their balance, their sense of balance, partly because of the gases in their stomach. Maybe they've got a little bit too much wool on, and they basically roll onto their back with their feet sticking up in the air and a big round belly, and they cannot get up. I had to do some research. It's a big deal over there. They know all about it. So if you want to find out about cast sheep, New Zealand sheep. Cast. Apparently, if a shepherd isn't watching the sheep, they can be in trouble within just a few hours. Because what starts to happen is that their legs, all the blood drains out of them. They lose the circulation. And soon, after only a few hours, they will lose the ability to walk again. So what a good shepherd does is watching the sheep, goes over to them, and he'll right them. You see, because a sheep that is cast is in serious trouble. It is completely at the mercy of predators to come and attack it. And if it's left like that for too long, it will never walk again and it will die. It's a good picture of what we're like before Christ comes into our life. Have no hope apart from a good shepherd coming and restoring our life, restoring our soul. And that's what a good shepherd does. He comes over to the sheep, picks it up, puts it on its feet, massages its legs so the circulation comes back, holds it there tenderly until it actually gets its sense of balance back, and then sends it off to join the herd, to join the flock, sorry. There you go. That shows you how much I know about sheep. You see, if you're a sheep of the Good Shepherd, you don't need to fear. In fact, the Good Shepherd will come and restore life to you, restore your soul. Literally, save your life. In verse 3 continues, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. You see there that it is his glory, his name, his renown. This is why God chooses us and saves us and calls us his own and makes us part of his flock. He gives us the privilege of making him known, of having him as our good shepherd and telling other sheep who aren't yet of the flock how great he is and how good he is and how satisfied truly we are in him, how our life has literally been saved. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're told to live such good lives among the pagans that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. And in 1 Corinthians 10, that we're to do everything for the glory of God. It's just like the first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. I know you're going through the New City Catechism, but the Westminster says, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God calls us, makes us his own, for his namesake. Verse 4 continues, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't know if you were one of those children who lay awake at night wondering about monsters under your bed or some creatures lurking in your cupboards or what was that noise outside or on the roof in the dark. Or maybe that's you, like now, worried about perhaps about the future or the unknown, what's going to happen, not being in control of life's ups and downs. Well, God's word to you from Psalm 23 is, don't be afraid. Even if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Well, because you're not alone. Because the great and good shepherd is with you. No matter what this life may bring, you're not alone if the Lord is your shepherd. And even if the shadow of death is cast over you, don't fear. Don't fear that evil, because we follow a good shepherd who has defeated death. The Lord Jesus faced death, and it couldn't keep him down. He's been through that darkness, and he's emerged into the sunshine of everlasting life on the other side, and he can lead us through it too. So no matter what happens in this life, the good shepherd is there with you and will not allow evil to triumph over you, even the evil of death. And the psalm calls us to find comfort in dark times in the fact that Jesus is stronger than any evil, and he has already protected us from it. And he loves us and protects us more than anyone else and more than we know. The psalmist puts it this way: your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod is a bit like a club, and they used to use it to drive off predators and defend the sheep. And see, David, who was a shepherd boy, he knew all about this. He knew all about defending sheep from the predators. There were wolves, there were lions, there were bears. And in 1 Samuel 17, this is how David describes his time caring for the sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and I killed it. We've just gone from a beautiful pastoral scene in green pastures to killing and defending. But this is the type of shepherd that David sees his good shepherd as, one who has the power to defend. God is even more fierce in the protection of his flock. The Lord knows that his sheep are frail. He knows that the evil one is lurking in the shadows, just waiting to steal a sheep. Like 1 Peter 5 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, looking to take you away from salvation in Christ. And the true sheep is not afraid, though, because he knows that the good shepherd is more than capable of protecting us. Our shepherd has promised to never leave us, never forsake us, and just like a shepherd, he will use his rod, his club, to defend us against the evil one. He always has already done that at the cross, and he continues to keep us. And just like a shepherd, he will use his staff to direct and guide us, keep us from harming ourselves. We can trust the Lord to keep his promise of Christ's return. In fact, not only will God protect us from the evil one, as we continue into verse 5, it reminds us that we will actually be vindicated, and our enemies will see as king, that Christ truly is the good shepherd. In verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This verse tells us that God's providential care is here for us now, giving us every spiritual blessing in Christ, and that eventually we will take our place at the wedding banquet of the Lamb, when the Lord returns from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. This is a reality that we live in now, and the reality we look forward to. We don't need to fear, because there are no limits to Christ's power and no limits to his care of us. Now, here in verse 5, we're not sure whether the analogy of the shepherd continues or whether it changes to be the analogy of the hospitality of a Bedouin tent. The commentators are up in the air about this, but a Middle Eastern host cares for his guests by providing food for their stomach, oil to refresh the guest's face. That was just part of the hospitality back then. And in this case, it seems that he has this glass of wine that never runs out. It's a bit like Norman Lindsay's magic pudding, except this is a magic wine glass. It just, that sense of overflowing is that it keeps on being full. It's never going to run out. You're always going to have this refreshing drink. So whether it's the hospitality of the Bedouin tent or the Middle Eastern shepherd who goes to the tablelands, to the plateaus, and removes the poisonous plants, prepares a table, whether it's the shepherd who puts oil on the sheep that is infused with herbs to keep the flies away and so protect them, in either case, the idea is the same, that we are protected by someone who is seeking our good and has unlimited resources to continue to care for us. And that's how this psalm ends, in verse 6. It says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." No limits. No limits to the goodness that is ours. Pursued by it, in fact, it says, every day in this life, and looking forward to an everlasting life of joy with the Lord throughout eternity. To the goodness that is ours in Christ. But we've got to be real, don't we, about what this psalm is promising and what it's not. You know that life is difficult and tough. And this psalm is not promising a life of ease with no trouble. What it is promising is that if the Lord is your shepherd, if your mind, your heart, your soul is given to following and obeying the good shepherd, you will be content and secure in him, now and forever. After all, it's no accident that Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. You know Psalm 22? My God, why have you forsaken me? Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Psalm 22 is the cross. And the cross always comes before the crown and the glory. Jesus, the good shepherd, gave his life for his sheep. He defeated the enemies of sin and death. He lived a sinless life of obedience to his Father, walking the paths of righteousness. He won the restoration of our souls. The Lord Jesus fills and refreshes our life with the Holy Spirit, and he will keep us from evil, even in the shadowy days of death. This is the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it begs the question, is he your shepherd? Because the promises of contentment and security and eternal joy are for those who trust in him, who know that he is their shepherd. No want, no fear, no limits to his love. These things are real for those who trust and follow the Lord Jesus. So if you're here this morning for the first time, if you've just walked in and you've never heard about Christ, or if you've been sitting in these pews for 60 years, but you know that the Lord is not your shepherd, then this morning there's an opportunity for you to respond to him in repentance, to admit and confess that, yes, I have been following after other guides in my life, other shepherds, but today you actually want to give your life to the good shepherd, to follow him and to receive the forgiveness that he offers. If that's you, I urge you to do that today. Or perhaps you're a Christian. You've been following after the Good Shepherd for many years, and you do know him as your Good Shepherd. Perhaps you've been wooed by other voices, by other shepherds. Popularity, peer pressure, chasing after money and power, whatever it is. This morning, Psalm 23 says to you, do not follow after those shepherds. They are no shepherds at all. You know the good shepherd. Turn your heart to him. Turn your priorities to his priorities. find life and fulfillment in your relationship with Him again, and the joy that you know is yours in your Good Shepherd. That's my prayer for you. And maybe today is a good day to do business with God and come before your Good Shepherd again. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of grace and mercy, that you are our Good Shepherd, that in Christ we have everything we need. Lord God, help us to remember this again and to trust your word and to trust you, that you do have our best interests at heart, that we are not missing out by following you. In fact, we have everything that we could ever desire. Lord God, help us to know this as a reality in our life. Give us your grace to live with the Lord Jesus as our shepherd and to follow him joyfully and obediently. We ask and pray this for the sake of his name. Amen.